Thank you, Thatcher. Appreciate that. First time, I think, for you to be up here doing that, right? So, God bless you. Somebody asked me this last week, do you think we'll have people get out Sunday? I said, I think we're going to have a big crowd because everybody's going to want to get out of the house and just to get away from where we've been cooped up for some time. So thank you for being here and wonderful worship today. All of us, all in, all the time. That's what we've been talking about this 2025, and particularly over these last 3 weeks, I have taken the time to introduce to you different people from the New Testament scriptures who were all in with the plan of God. We've looked at Mary, we've looked at Joseph, and then last week we looked at John the Baptist. Today we're going to look at Andrew, one of Jesus' disciples, who was all in with Jesus. And my hope is, through these sermons, that we can see what it looks like for a person to be all in with Jesus. And that their lives would then inspire us to be all in with Jesus. Andrew. First of all, he was willing to be the first to follow Jesus. He was willing to be the minority. And we see the truth of that in John's Gospel, chapter 1. I want to read to you verses 35 through 42. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 35. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. This is John the Baptist. And he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. I find it interesting that often Andrew was referred to as Simon Peter's brother. More times than not, I think Andrew took the back seat to his brother Peter, and yet it was Andrew who chose to follow Jesus first. In fact, it was Andrew who introduced his brother Peter to Jesus. We learn from John's writing that we just read that Andrew was a follower of John the Baptist. But as I said last week, John the Baptist was understanding why he was here. He understood that he had a mission. And that mission was to be the forerunner to the Messiah. He was preparing the way for Jesus to come. And so when Jesus did come, it didn't take John long at all to begin pointing people to Jesus. He said to them, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And when he said that, Andrew, it got his attention. Andrew wanted to follow Jesus, and he began to walk after him, and Jesus turned to him and invited him to stay with him for a day. Can you imagine staying with Jesus even for one day? To hear him speak, to hear him pray, to eat with him, to fellowship with him, to be near him. One day with Jesus, and that's all it took for Andrew. He was all in with Jesus. And I want to encourage you to take some time to get alone with Jesus. A number of you, I'm sure, already do that. Every day comes along and you have your time with Jesus. And you know how important that is. You know what a difference that makes in your life. He makes all the difference. It's in Him that we have hope. It's in Him that we have purpose and meaning to life. It's in Jesus that we have peace and comfort. It's in Jesus that we have forgiveness of sins. And so, yes, you, many of you, know how vital that time is, how important that time is that you have with Jesus on a daily basis. Now, if you're not one who is accustomed to having time with Jesus, I want to encourage you to do that, to do whatever it takes to change that. Because you need Him. You need Him like you need air to breathe. You need Him more than the food that you eat. He is living water to a soul that is so thirsty. I want to encourage you, take the time, and I should say it this way, make the time that you will be with Him. And as you make that time, as you spend that fellowship time with Jesus, you will begin to sense Him filling your empty cup. The world cannot fill your empty cup, but Jesus can. If you're a morning person, take the time early in the morning to be with Him. If you're a night owl, take the time to be with Him. This week, good news, the temperatures, I think, are going to get warmer. The days are going to be nice. And so why don't you just take some time to go on a walk and talk with Him? Spend some time just in His presence. Find a quiet spot and worship Him. Turn the TV off, lay your phone down, and spend some time with Jesus. And just one day, just spend some time one day with Jesus. That's all it took for Andrew. He was all in with Jesus after that. It didn't matter either that he was the first one in. Andrew wasn't bothered by being a minority. I love the logo of The Chosen. You've seen it, I would imagine. Only a few fish, you notice, only a few fish are swimming against the current. Most all the other fish, they're just going right along with the current. And it's easy to swim with the current, isn't it? It's easy to just kind of go along with the crowd. But some fish dared to swim against the current. I want to encourage you and me to be willing to swim against the current of the world. I want to encourage us to be willing to be different from the world, to think differently than how the world thinks, to live differently than how the world lives. As I had kids growing up in the home, I tried every day to pray for them that they would have the strength to stand alone. I prayed too that God would send to them people whom they could connect with, and people who were also willing to go against the current, people who were willing to swim against the current of the world. Because it is easier to swim with other people who are going in God's direction. If you want to go in God's direction, it's easier to do that when other people are going in God's direction too. But I prayed, Lord, if necessary, help them to have the strength to stand alone. And if you have kids in your home, parents, pray that prayer for them. Pray that they will be able to go against the current of the world, to be different from the world. I'm praying that prayer for my grandkids now. It's easy to go along with the crowd. It's easy to swim with the current. But according to Matthew chapter 7, the current is taking the crowd to hell. Isn't that right? That's what Jesus said. It's called the broad road in Matthew chapter 7. We don't want our kids on the broad road. We want them on the narrow road. And parents, you show them what it means, what it looks like to be on that narrow road. They need your example. All of us need to be like Andrew and be willing to be in the minority and follow Jesus. Let me give to you a second point about Andrew, indicating that he was all in with Jesus. He was willing to leave everything to follow Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Actually, Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. And this is Jesus. He was going along by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew, the brothers of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. A word that I like to highlight in verse 18 is the word immediately. They immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. No hesitation. No second thoughts. The parallel passage in Luke's gospel, chapter 5, verse 11, says that when they brought their boats to the land, they left everything to follow Jesus. These verses highlight both Andrew's and Peter's response. Everything they knew was wrapped up in these boats and nets. They were lifelong fishermen, and yet when Jesus called for them to come and follow him, that he was going to make them fishers of men, what did they do? They followed him. Well, what's the lesson for us in this text in 2025? Kevin, are you saying that I'm to quit my job and leave everything behind to follow Jesus? I'm not saying that unless he would specifically lead you there in that direction. Wherever he leads, follow him. Wherever he calls you to, follow him. And be willing to leave everything behind to follow him. It's easy to get our lives wrapped up in the things of this world. And if we're not careful, Jesus will be down here on our list of priorities rather than up here on our list of priorities. And up here is where he needs to be. He needs to be first above everything. We need to love him first above everything. And of course, this is what he taught us with the great commandment. A lawyer came to him and said, "Tell us, which is the great commandment in all of Scripture?" And without hesitation, Jesus said, "You to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul." In other words, love Jesus first. Love God first. If we're not careful, we can find ourselves loving the world more than what we love God. One of the most sobering, awakening pictures that I have seen in a long time, I have for you for the screen. I hope. Do you have it? The Oscar award? Right there it is. You know where that was taken? In California after the fires. And I'm sure that the person who lost that in the fire lost everything. And I'm sure that is a very valued trophy. That is a very valued possession in the mind of the world. And yet it's a reminder to us that the world and all that we value in the world, it can be snatched away just that fast. These things do not last. The world does not last. And I'm wondering, what is it that we are investing our life into? Are we investing our life into the things that are temporary? Are we investing our lives into the things that just can be snatched away so quickly? Or are we investing our lives primarily into Jesus, into that which is going to last forever? It's only in Jesus that our empty cup, our empty life can be filled up. And Andrew was willing to give up everything. He was willing to leave behind everything to follow Jesus. Let me give to you a third point about Andrew. He was always on the lookout for lost souls. Three different times in Scripture, we see Andrew bringing somebody to Jesus. And of course, the first person that we see him bringing to Jesus is his own brother, Peter. And we read that Scripture in John chapter 1 earlier in the sermon. He said to Peter, "We have found the Messiah." In John 6, who was it that brought the young boy to Jesus that had the fish and the loaves? It was Andrew. Andrew's the one who brought that young boy to Jesus. And in John chapter 12, there were some Greeks who were looking to meet Jesus. Who was it that brought those Greeks to Jesus? It was Andrew. He was constantly on the lookout for lost souls, and he was doing all that he could to bring people to Jesus. There are lost souls all around us. We should be looking to see who of those people in our circle of influence that we can introduce to Jesus. Now, I mentioned to you just a few moments ago, the first great commandment is to love God with our whole heart. The second great commandment, it goes along with point number three as we talk about on the lookout for lost souls. I was listening to a preacher recently, and he said something that caught my attention, and I think I have this as a quote for you on the screen, and the quote is this: too many Americans are more passionate about the Second Amendment than what they are about the Second Great Commandment. And if you know what the Second Amendment is, but not the Second Commandment, then it might be you. Whoa. Think about that. The second great commandment is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I'm all for the Second Amendment. I'm not saying that. But that's a whole nother topic there. But every single one of us ought to be all for the Second Commandment, because Jesus was for the Second Commandment. And we need to understand what that commandment involves, that if we're going to love people, if we're going to truly love people, then we're going to look out for them and we're going to share with them the greatest news that's ever hit planet Earth. And that is Jesus came to save souls. And here's a fourth point that leads to the fact that Andrew was all in with Jesus. He had a little bit of faith. Just a little bit of faith. That's all it takes, said Jesus. I mean, the size of a mustard seed, and we can see mountains moved from here to there. I referenced John chapter 6 earlier. Jesus was preaching to a crowd of 5,000 men. You remember that setting? He'd been teaching them all through the day, 5,000 men, and the scripture's very specific to say that was just the men. That did not include the women and the children who were present that day. And they have spent the whole day listening to him, and it's towards evening time now, and the people are getting hungry. The disciples are getting hungry, and they're saying to Jesus, send the people away so that they can find something to eat. And Jesus says to them, why don't you feed them? What? How can we feed a crowd of this size? And if you're talking 5,000 men, not including the women and the children, I think it's a very conservative count to say that there may have been around 12,000 people there that day listening to Jesus. Think 12,000 people. Every time that I drive Highway 49 south towards Nevada, I see a sign that says population Nevada, Missouri, 8,000 and some. So if you've got a crowd of 12,000, you're talking the size of Nevada plus half the town again. And Jesus is saying, you feed them. And all the disciples except Andrew were trying to figure out a reason to say, no, we can't afford this. There's too many people. Where are we going to get the money to feed this kind of a crowd? While they're coming up with reasons why they couldn't feed the crowd, Andrew has gone out amongst the crowd, and he's found a young boy. You see it on the cover of your bulletin today with a lunch. This is a small lunch for a young boy. 5 loaves, and you can see on the picture there of your bulletin. Then we're not talking big loaves. This is a small boy's lunch. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he brings the boy to Jesus, and he says, I don't know. This is what I have found. But what is this among so many people? He had just a little bit of faith, and a little bit of faith is a start. And that's what Jesus worked with that day, was a little bit of faith. And he fed the entire multitude with more than enough for them to eat, and there were 12 baskets of food left over. That's what Jesus can do with a little bit of faith. And so could I encourage you today and myself, could we pray in that time that we get away? I challenged you earlier, look for a time that you can get away and be with Jesus this week. And would you pray, Lord, just give me a little bit of faith, and then wait and see what God can do with that. Because he can do great things with a little bit of faith. He can move mountains with a little bit of faith. And one final point about Andrew, he gave his life for the cause of the gospel. Tradition tells us that Andrew was martyred for his faith. Maybe you've heard of St. Andrew's cross. It's just 2 pieces of wood in an X shape. And church tradition says that's what Andrew was crucified on. in Greece around the year 60 AD. He was crucified on a cross in the form of an X rather than the form of a T like our Lord. And tradition says that he preached throughout several Asian countries. And the thing that I would like to leave you with about Andrew, his name is mentioned only 12 times in the New Testament. 12 times. And that means we don't have a whole lot of details about Andrew. And certainly he was in the shadows of his older brother, Peter. He's in the background. Peter's up front. Andrew's in the shadows. And yet that was okay. God used Andrew in a great way. And as I was coming to the conclusion of this sermon, I'm thinking, you know, there are a lot of people, maybe more people in this room that feel comfortable in Andrew's shoes than in Peter's shoes. A lot of us probably don't feel comfortable being up front. A lot of us don't feel comfortable being in leadership position. But boy, we need some Andrews who are in the shadows. We need some Andrews who are in the background. We need some Andrews who don't have to be in the driver's seat, but some people who are willing to put Jesus first in their life. And they're willing to follow him, leaving everything behind. And they're not worried about being in the minority. Because Jesus said we would be in the minority. And they're on the lookout. These people, though they're in the shadows and they're in the background, they don't have to be up front. They're looking to see who they might influence for Jesus in their sphere of influence. And they're people who have just a seed of faith that God can do great things with. Would you dare to be an Andrew? Let's pray together. Help us, God. Help us to have a room full of Andrews. Thank you for him. And I thank you that he pointed his brother Peter to Jesus. Because we need Peters too. Help us to be all in with Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.